We'll desire your prayers this afternoon. Need the Lord's help, as always. And if someone wouldn't mind, I'd like a glass of water at some point. Thank you. It doesn't matter. Either one's fine. My burden this afternoon is to provide some words of encouragement. I'll be honest with you. I think everyone will agree here this afternoon. Every once in a while, we need to hear some words of encouragement. Even the ministry. And the children, teenagers, middle-aged adults, the elderly, all of us. And I want to write a word on the board here. So I've written on the board one word, seasons. And I don't know about you all, but maybe I'm kind of partial to the Midwest here. I enjoy my 4 full seasons, because quite honestly, after a while, I get tired of winter. I'm ready for spring. Not really anxious about summer because of the heat, but there's some positives about it, you know, this during Monarch and so on and so forth. Fall time is actually my favorite season. That's also our wedding anniversary that time of year, and thank you. And winter time is, you know, the full cycle. But there's something about that. I enjoy the variety, living here in the 4 states. But there's also a side of it where, you know, there's sometimes where, for instance, the last two summers, we've had a couple of droughts. Some areas much more severe than others, but needless to say, it was droughts. And then this year, we've had a good amount of rain, at least up in our area and around Neosho. But again, those are seasons. And if you want to define what seasons are, there's several different definitions, but it's a appointed occasion or time by God. And now we were just talking about physical seasons, but there's another type of season I want to talk about this afternoon. And recently I was looking at some pictures, some old pictures when I was a child. And I came across one I'd looked at before, but it really just made me stop and ponder for a little bit. Have you ever seen, say, an old piece of wooden furniture, whether it's a chair or a table or a bookcase or whatever it is, or a desk? And if you've ever looked at some old pieces of furniture, whether it's at someone's house or if it's in a vintage store that's selling old furniture, and to look at that and say, you know, if that piece of furniture could talk, what would it say? So recently I was looking at a picture, and it was at my grandmother Cole, at her house, years ago, probably 40 years or so ago. And there was a bunch of us children, grandchildren, hovering around her kitchen table. Now, she always kept her kitchen table covered with a piece of plastic and a tablecloth for a reason. She's pretty smart. She learned she wants to protect her nice wood with a lot of grandchildren and children. But the point is, when I was looking at that picture and analyzing it and just all the memories flooding back over the years, the many times we would go over there for special occasions, whether it be holidays or birthdays or just to go over there. But to realize that that old kitchen table made it through several generations. And I've seen other photos of my grandparents and when their children were young and they're around sitting around that table, and some other, it's like, what kind of conversations went on around that table? What kind of drinks or food was spilled on that kitchen table? Well, what kind of, I remember times where my grandmother Cole, she made awesome applesauce. Apple butter, actually, was a proper term. But she would sit at that kitchen table and cut up those apples, and we would kind of swipe a few here and there, you know. But just to think about this, that table went through a lot of seasons. Just think about that. And that's life, folks. We all go through seasons of life, and we'll get to more of that here in a moment. But I want to turn some attention to something else, talking about seasons and actually talking about wood. I want to relay a story that I came across, something that happened back in the early to middle 1900s, and it actually had to do with, it was an Olympian sport called 8-man rowing. And what that is, it's 8 men in a hollowed out long boat, canoe, whatever you want to call it. that's been handmade, and the boat's about 60 feet long, roughly. And they are, back in the day, it was quite a competition. A lot of the colleges throughout the U.S. and across the world, they would compete with each other with these eight-man rowing competitions. And then again, it became an Olympic sport. And what's interesting is, back in the early to middle 1900s, the U.S. men actually won several gold medals. And they attributed it to one specific thing. Not only were these young men strong and powerful, it's very interesting. You look up some videos and see how these folks do it. It just blows your mind how they can move so quickly down the river across a lake. But anyway, but it was the shells or the boats that were made. And there was one specific master builder that made some of these boats for the U.S. Olympic team. And his name was George Pocock. And he was trained by his father to make these boats. He was very skillful with it. And there was something about it that it seemed like he made some of the best boats. They were the sturdiest, the prettiest, and the sleekest, and could just glide down the river or down the lake, wherever it was they were racing. So he was interviewed different times, and they tried to understand how he made such an amazing boat. Well, come to find out, there was some secrets. There were some secrets to this. So he would actually spend time searching for just the right logs to make these boats out of. He wasn't just going to take any old log, and he was very specific. He would try to find, some of them were sugar pine, yellow spruce, there were certain types of cedar, ash trees, but the log had to be a specific length and size, but there were more things to it. There was something about the beauty of them, because not only were they physically sturdy and very robust and able to carry the weight of these men and to the stress and the torque when they're rowing, but they had such a smooth polish to them, but they were also beautiful. And so what I want to do is I'll draw just a quick little diagram on the board here, just a little cross-section of, say, like if you guys ever seen, like if someone cuts off a tree and you can look at the end of the log, you can see rings around it, all right? So I'm going to draw just a little cross-section of the rings here briefly. Just a small portion of it. So what I'm drawing here is different sizes and shapes of rings and different characteristics. And what happened was, throughout the duration, the growth process of this tree, it had encountered a variety of experiences itself. And when I go through this here this afternoon, I want us to understand, I want to liken these trees that he would select to choose. He would cherry pick these trees, certain logs, to make his boats out of, or they would call them shells. But there were specific characteristics that he was looking for. He didn't want something that was so soft and had never been through a battle, so to speak. All right? He was actually looking for something that had some character to it. And that's what these different rings were demonstrating here that I have drawn on the board here. Because, first of all, some of these trees he would select were several hundred years old. They were large, they were old, but he didn't care. If they were solid, he didn't care. He was very picky with these. But some of these growth rings, for instance, some of them would be thin, and so that could be maybe some years where there wasn't much rain, so it didn't grow that much. Perhaps there was a drought. Then there were other rings which were obviously larger, so it had more rain. Then there were also some that were different shades or colors, and it would represent different types of maybe minerals or soils that the roots would find. And it could change over time too, especially if it was by a river or whatever. And so it would be different colors of some of the rings. And then also, Sometimes there were occasional flaws. As long as it wasn't too big a flaw, it could be from maybe there was a fire or a lightning strike or maybe insect infestation, whatever. But if a tree is still healthy enough, it'll recover and continue to grow. And that ring will be covered up and it'll go on to the next year. But when you think about this, this is just like our lives, isn't it? We go through seasons of life. We go through times where, quite honestly, maybe we go through a spiritual drought. Maybe we're not growing as much as we would desire. Other times it seems like maybe the rings are larger and it seems like we grow a lot. We don't realize it maybe at the time. We look back like, wow, Lord, you really helped me through that. And so there was maybe a spiritual feast, so to speak. And then other times maybe there's other attacks upon us that we're not destroyed, but maybe there is a lightning strike, a sudden loss or grief or whatever that actually it does scar us, but we're not destroyed. And we continue to grow and we go on to the next season, to the next year, or whatever the case is. And then there's also sometimes where the trees, you've heard the stories about this, that when the trees, when they're faced with adverse winds, that they'll blow back and forth. But what that does, it actually helps deepen the roots and it'll strengthen the tree. Because you take a tree that's like too close to a bunch of other trees, and if it gets a little tall and then a wind comes, it's not stable, just blow it over. But you get a tree that's kind of on its own, so to speak, and it kind of standing its own ground, and the wind whips it year in and year out, it's grown where it's stout and sturdy, and the roots go down. And so there's something about these characteristics of these trees really do apply to us in everyday life. So thinking of these trees, and as I mentioned, he was very particular when he would pick these trees out. But they were in awe with how beautiful they were. You know, that's just like you and I, that sometimes it's through the different seasons of life that it actually seasons us spiritually speaking. And yes, we may have some marks, so to speak, on us. We're not destroyed and we're not discouraged and we haven't given up on the Lord. But yet we've gone through some things. We've weathered some storms, some attacks, but yet we're still going on. And you know what God loves to do is he loves to take those trees, those spiritual trees, so to speak, and he wants to be just like he was, the master craftsman, and make something beautiful and useful out of that. And ultimately, that's what was amazing is this man, George Pocock, he was able to, he would make these shells, these boats, and they would race in these boats. And there are actually other colleges and other countries that wanted to hire him to make their boats and their shells because he was so good at it. But what I want us to get across here is that he was very instrumental in getting the U.S. men's 8-man rowing team, to earn these gold medals. And in fact, I'll just point this out, it's kind of interesting. There for several years, or I guess different decades there, Germany was actually dominating that sport. But when he came along and started making these boats and the U.S. men got involved, they started winning. And the Germans couldn't figure it out. And that was just one in particular. They realized that, oh, George Pocock, he's making their boats. That's why. But what I love about this, folks, is we can go along in life and others can be amazed that, oh, so-and-so is doing this now? Like, let's not be surprised when the master craftsman, God himself, gets a hold of somebody, when they allow him to work in their lives and to make something of them. Yes, maybe he has to work on them, get some tools out, and yes, they suffer some adversity and some challenges in life, but God is taking them in his hands, and he's carving something, he's making something beautiful and useful out of it. So let's not be surprised or amazed when God does that for someone. But rather, let's be encouraged that, thank you, Lord. You're still working with your people and you love us and you want to help us to the next level. Well, thinking of this, you know, just as he saw, Mr. Pocock saw the potential of the rings, of the wood, of the log, God sees our potential too. And how many times have we looked at specifically some of the disciples when Jesus was here on the earth? He saw the potential. Others would look at Peter and would look at John and would look at different ones and say, Matthew, and you know, and like, you're going to use them? But Jesus saw the potential, all right? He looked at how he had already been working in their lives, and he's like, you know what? I have some more seasons in mind for you, but for now, I can take where you're at and I can make something out of you. I'm so thankful God sees that potential in us. But thinking of these seasons of life, I want to read some familiar scriptures here. In Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, there's a lot in these scriptures, and I'm not going to dig into each one, but I'm just going to read them briefly or quickly, and just to kind of lay a foundation here for some more thoughts as we carry on this afternoon. So in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, we'll just start with verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. So that's just a partial list, honestly, because there's a lot more things that could be added to that. But I think that's a very good list here in the scriptures. But to think of it this way, there are times in life, and I've actually read these scriptures sometimes, and I think, Lord, it seems like all the negative ones are lining up right now. You understand what I'm saying? Not the positive ones. And then there's some times where the devil, and we've already heard some about this in this meeting already, but it's like the devil would love to jump on our back, so to speak, and say, you know, all these bad things that you're going through right now, you're just not close enough to God. You're just not good enough. You know, you're just not, and try to load a burden of guilt and shame. That's right. That, and yet we're trying to live for the Lord, and we're doing the best we can, but yet these seasons sometimes come along in inopportune times. Maybe you just got something accomplished, or you just defeated, you know, had a victory here, or something good happened here, and then all of a sudden it's like everything breaks loose. It's like boom, 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 boom. Folks, that's called life. And those are seasons, okay? But again, just because we experience these difficult seasons sometimes, it doesn't mean that we're a bad person. And that we're an absolute failure. And we're just of no count and of no worth. Folks, that's a lie from Satan himself. Because we are valuable. There is potential. And yes, maybe there's times where the Lord wants us to move up, but he's not going to beat us over the head in a way like that. Say, oh, well, you're just worthless and you can't do this and, well, I can't, you know, blah, blah. No, that's not how God operates. He has a way of bringing us up, to encourage us, to draw us close to him, to put his arm around us and say, let's do this together, all right? Well, in thinking of this, remember the story of Job? You know, he went through some seasons. How did some of his first seasons turn out? Before the affliction came, and before the whirlwind came, before he lost his children, how were things going? How was that season? You could say it looked like this right here. It's a nice, big, fat, growing, plentiful, flourishing, everything is great and wonderful. But oh, did things change. And they changed in a hurry. And you know, that's something that sometimes we don't have any control over. Sometimes things change over a process of several years, decades even. But at other times, a season may come and it's like a severe thunderstorm, like some that hit last night up in northwest Arkansas and southeast Kansas and southwest Missouri. They had some sudden storms that hit last night. And you know, sometimes in life, that's what happens to us too. We weren't expecting that. We're like, where did this come from? But folks, let's not be discouraged. And I'm so thankful for this example in the scriptures of the story of Job. And I'm not going to turn to read all those scriptures regarding his experiences. But things took a sudden turn, all right? And yet, was Job a terrible person? Was he a failure? Was he a bad person because all those things happened to him? No, he wasn't. So that's where I take courage from this, folks. That yes, and I'm not disqualifying. Again, I'm speaking to folks that are endeavoring to serve the Lord here this afternoon, okay? And that's my burden here, to speak to you all. Because Satan would love to get us discouraged. That is one of his most powerful tools he will use against anyone, is discouragement. But folks, we serve a master craftsman. We serve a mighty God, a creator that understands us, that sees our potential. And he, by the way, he's in control of the seasons of our life. Just like with Job, God saw that. God wasn't surprised. God knew, he allowed it. But yet, he's like, have you considered my servant Job? And oh, I am so thankful that Job maintained his integrity all the way through. Even though he hit this difficult time right after. I mean, it was just one difficult thing after another. The only thing he had left, literally, was his wife. His children are gone. His riches, his wealth is gone. His health is gone. And yes, I'll just say it for us this afternoon, folks. Sometimes we do feel like Job. We do. And but yet, the end of Job, that's what I love to focus on. How did it end with Job? Better than the beginning. Much better off. And beyond that, that was a blessing that he experienced. He got a new family, new wealth, new health, all of those things. But you know what I love about this? It wasn't just for his family and that generation. How many millions of people have gained courage and strength and encouragement from reading the story of Job? I'm one of them. And I'm so thankful that we have him as a reference. But you know, that's just one. How about the one, in fact, that was mentioned this morning about Joseph? The coat of many colors. You know, his life started out, his season started out, was really, it was great. As a young man, had everything going his way, so to speak. But oh, did things take a certain change for him too. A sudden, drastic change. Sold as a slave. He's thinking, this is not how I intended my life to go. But you know, even with Joseph, again, he maintained his integrity with God. And allowed him to carve on him, so to speak, and to polish him up, and ultimately use him as an amazing tool, all right? In fact, I want to read, let's just read a few scriptures here in Genesis, the 50th chapter. This is a common set of scriptures that's been used many times, but I want to turn to read them again, just to emphasize this point here this afternoon. In Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. And this is after his brethren had come, fell down before his face. He said, behold, we be thy servants. Because they're like, oh no, what's going to happen to us? Oh, but folks, the master craftsman had been working and polishing on Joseph for a while. Okay, and Joseph allowed God to lead him through all the seasons of his life. And it came down to this climax here. Such a pivotal point where Joseph, if he hadn't have allowed God to work on him, if he allowed Satan to ingrain some bitterness and hatred where that started growing instead, he could have ended his brothers' lives right there. But he didn't. And what did he say? And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But I love this next part. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, And yes, there were some difficult seasons Joseph went through. I cannot imagine in his mind when he's being shipped away as a slave and a servant, left home and everything he knew, thinking, what now? Just a young man. Innocent, hopeless, helpless in so many ways, in a foreign land. But that wasn't the end. He said, as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
Joseph was able to take, by God's grace and help, the difficult seasons and the flourishing seasons. Because there was a few times of greatness along. It was a short live. You know, he had some great time there. He's able to get out of prison, do some work, you know, and it wasn't such a difficult task, but yet he was still in prison, so to speak. But God had his hand on him through all of that. Through all the ups and downs, and the conclusion of it was, God was able to make a beautiful boat, so to speak, as we were talking about, a shell that was not only beautiful, but it was a useful tool, and it worked just as God designed it to.
That's right.
And he won a gold medal. You understand what I'm saying? Spiritually speaking, Joseph passed the test. Spiritually speaking, Job passed the test. They won the gold medal, if you want to put it that way, spiritually speaking. But folks, you know, God wants to do the same with you and I.
Yes, he does.
Even in the midst of the seasons of our lives, and quite honestly, sometimes these seasons, they seem like they're lasting forever.
Yes.
Sometimes it happens that way. But they don't. There'll be an end to it at some point. And to put it this way again, yes, sometimes the seasons aren't so enjoyable. There's some attacks, or there's a pestilence, or there's a fire. Spiritually speaking, understand what I'm saying here. A difficult time, all right? Something that seems like, can I handle anymore, Lord? But we know what the scripture says, that he won't put on us more than we can bear. Folks, that's a promise that we can hang on to. And truly, Job got a hold of that. Joseph got a hold of that. But thinking of how that they, as again, with the story of Joseph, he said, as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. And so in the end, not only did God bless Joseph and his immediate family, the ones that came, his brothers and his father and all those, but it was for the whole nation that God was looking out for everyone. And again, just like the story of Job, let's take it all the way down to you and I. How many times have we been encouraged and inspired by this story of Joseph? It's been one of my favorite stories since I was a little boy. I'm like, wow, that is, you know. And so when we look at that, and look at, if we could put it this way, the spiritual mileage God has gotten out of just these two that I mentioned here this afternoon, Job and Joseph.
Yes.
But to think of this, how do we, okay, we'll put it this way. Sometimes in the difficult seasons of life, the seasons themselves may not be easy or enjoyable to embrace. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, Lord, this is painful. But folks, I want us to understand something here this afternoon. God understands that we are human. We have thoughts and feelings and emotions and physical pain, all those things that we have to contend with, all right? God understands that.
Yes, he does.
And the reason he understands that to a greater level is because he sent his son Jesus down here to experience pain, grief, loss, rejection, all those things, the emotional trauma, all those things that Jesus went through. That's why he can intercede for us at the right hand of the throne of God, because through his son, God has experienced it too. And he gets it. He understands that sometimes it's hard to embrace a season, so to speak, a difficult season. But folks, I'll tell you something we can embrace, and that is our Master and our Lord and Savior. That's what we need to be embracing and hanging on to. Say, Lord, I don't understand this over here, and it's painful, but Lord, I'm going to hang on to you no matter what. You know, we heard that song this morning. Thank the Lord for it. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, thank the Lord. Because seasons change, folks. But God's hand does not change. You know, that is such an anchor to the soul. That we can plead to the Lord, say, Lord, we know what you brought Job through. We know what you brought Joseph through. And Lord, sometimes it feels like I'm going through the same thing. Even though I'm a different person in a different age. But sometimes it feels like it, folks. But what we can do is we can run to Jesus and wrap our arms around him and say, Lord, I'm not letting go until I get something from you. That we can embrace him and hang on to his unchanging hand. You know, there's a scripture that says in Proverbs, the third chapter, it says, and this is an example of how we can hang, hold on to God's unchanging hand. There's a scripture in Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I want to get a hold of this little phrase. In all thy ways. You know what that means? Can mean? Through all your seasons. The difficult times, the great times, the times on the mountaintop, the times in the valley, all the in-betweens, in all thy ways, through all your seasons of life, acknowledge the Lord. That means I'm intentionally hanging on to his hand. And Lord, I'm trusting you, even though it doesn't feel good going through this season, whatever it is, Lord, I know in the end, we're going to win gold. I know in the end, you know what you're doing. The carving marks you're making on my spiritual body, so to speak, it may be painful, but Lord, I know in the end, you know what you're doing. And if we hang on to him saying, Lord, and folks, I want to remind us this again, that God understands us better than we understand ourselves. Because it is natural and human to question, as in, Lord, this is painful. Why now? I'm dealing with this and this and this, and then all of it, this is happening? Oh, folks, but let's remember who we are serving. Someone that loves us so much. Someone that is so kind and tender and patient and gentle. Folks, Jesus is the gentle shepherd.
Yes, he is.
He's not a harsh shepherd. He's not a cruel one that's standing over us with the whip saying, just waiting for us to slip up a little bit. Folks, that's not the good shepherd I serve. He's out there to rescue us. He's out there to nurture us. When we reach out to him to hug him, he hugs us back even tighter. Say, come closer, my child. Come, nuzzle a little closer here. Let me speak some more words of comfort and encouragement to you. And folks, as I already mentioned, and that song this morning was one of them, hold to God's unchanging hand. You know, that was a little hug just for me. I'm just being vulnerable here this afternoon. That was a hug for me. I had no idea they were going to sing that song. I hadn't heard that song for years. Well, for a long time, we'll put it that way. But you know, that spoke to me. And again, folks, we all are going through different seasons. I'm going through some seasons right now I've not been through before. But does that mean I'm just going to go, well, forget it. You know, I'm just going to go back like Peter's. I'm just going to go fishing. But even when Peter did, Jesus walked after him. He sought him out because he's the good shepherd, folks. And he understands when we have times where we're like, I don't know what else to do, Lord. Jesus come. Pay us a visit.
Yes, thank you.
Whether it be through a song or a scripture or just in a quiet meditations or something in nature or something someone else says to you as a word of encouragement, whatever means, God has his ways of speaking to us and comforting us and encouraging us. And I am so thankful for that this afternoon. Well, speaking of gold, I want to close with this scripture. I'm going to go back to Job. In Job, the 23rd chapter, It's another familiar scripture. Job 23 and 10. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Oh, thank the Lord. And to think of this, folks, when he said, "He knoweth the way that I take," you know, that is so comforting to me.
Yes. Yes, that's true.
God knows, whoever you are here this afternoon, and wherever you are in your life, whatever season you found yourself in life, Jesus knows exactly where you're at. And he knows how to get you to the next season and the next season. And ultimately, in the end, where he can make something beautiful out of your life, something beautiful and useful to where you can win gold, so to speak, spiritually speaking. And as it says, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Folks, let's trust the process. God's process, not my process, not your process, not the world's process, and not Satan's process, but the master craftsman, the master carver, the master, the one that has the master plan of our lives. Let's trust his process. That the things that he's allowing are not to destroy us or to discourage us, but it is to drive us closer to his bosom, that we may hear more clearly and distinctly from his voice alone, folks, where it's not the voices of everyone else, but we get close enough, we can hear his voice, where he can lead us into life and life everlasting. You pray for me, I'd be faithful to him.